Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. All right, good to have you back, Alan. Good to know you missed me that much. Good to have you all here. We're glad you've chosen on this day to come back out and be a part of our worship time. We're excited to have you, and those of you who come regularly, we don't take you for granted. We're glad you're here. Every week, every other week, whatever you can make, we're very grateful for that too. One of the things we do here is give you a chance to say hello to somebody next to you. So stand with me if you will right now. Let somebody know you're glad they're here. I want to read a verse of scripture that Paul wrote, teaching us to how to relate to one another. And in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 13, Paul said this: "Do not become angry with each other. If you think that someone has done something wrong against you, forgive them. Remember that the Lord has forgiven you. So you should also forgive other people." That's the teaching. How many of you would agree that's sometimes hard to do? We're going to look at that today. Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you that your word gives us instruction for everyday life and living, including relationships, including those times when we become angry with someone or they become angry with us. You remind us, among other things, that ultimately we will need to forgive them. So we pray for the message that will come later on through your word, that you'll help us to be in tune with that and help us to find a way we can apply it to our lives. So, Father, use all of this time as we give our worship and praise to you through our fellowship, through our music, through your word. Bless it all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's heavy. Very, very heavy. That's realistic. Very realistic. Now, I hope you don't have those kind of issues, those kind of fights, those kind of skirmishes with people who are close to you, but most of us have at some point or another, whether it was your husband, your wife, brother, sister, grandparent, friend, aunt, uncle, because conflict happens. Conflict takes place. So we are in a series of messages here called Maintaining Happiness in Life. What a title after seeing that video, right? Maintaining happiness. But it's so important, because if you want to maintain happiness in life, you've got to learn how to do it better than that. If that's the best we do, we won't have happiness in our relationships. So today's message is how to reconcile a relationship. If you have your outlines, your bulletins, take the outline out. You can follow along, fill it in as we go through this. How to reconcile a relationship. It's an important skill, because you're going to have to know how to resolve conflicts, whether that's at work, in your marriage, if you're a parent with your children, friends, brothers and sisters, even Christians in small groups. Everywhere, you're going to have a conflict once in a while, and you need to know how to reconcile the relationship. The problem is, most of us have not been taught to do this very well. I don't know if we people just assumed we would learn this, we would just know how to do it on our own, but most people don't know how to do it very well. Now, we're basing all of this on the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount. We're down to number 7. Look at the Beatitude that Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Jesus said, "God blesses those who are peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." One of the characteristics of a believer is that we are a peacemaker. Not a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. Peacemaking is not avoiding and it's not appeasing. Avoiding is running from a problem, pretending it's not there, refusing to deal with a legitimate issue. Appeasing means I always give in. The other party always gets their way. It's peace at any price. That's codependency. A peacemaker is someone who actively works to reconcile people to God and to each other. Now, Jesus never ran away from a legitimate conflict. He knew how to handle people, how to handle conflicts. So let's go through this and see what the Word, the Bible, tells us about how to reconcile a relationship. So number one, write this down. Make the first move. Make the first move. Back during COVID, a husband and wife in Italy had a real big, bad argument. So the husband went for a cool-down walk. That's responsible, right? But he walked and walked and walked, and he walked for an entire, I'm not making this up, he walked for an entire week, 280 miles. That's the distance from New York City to Boston. At the end of his walk, the 48-year-old man was stopped by a policeman and fined $400 for breaking COVID restrictions. Can you imagine? What a way to end your walk. But he was taking the first step. In that case, the first step was, I need to cool down. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to just let things simmer for a while until we can handle it. You don't wait for somebody else. You take the initiative. And I understand what you're thinking, but it was all their fault. Gotcha. That does happen sometimes. It's absolutely all their fault. Tough. You take the first move. Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. If you're standing before the altar in the temple, giving an offering to God, and you suddenly remember someone has something against you, leave your offering there beside the altar. Go at once and first be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your gift to God. It says here, if someone has something against you, that is, they were in the wrong, not you, yet you are responsible to go to them and work it out. Say, well, we're mad, but it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. I believe you. Tough. Be the one who goes to work it out. Notice how important this is. Jesus said, if you're at church and you're singing your favorite worship song and the Spirit's moving and your hands might even be going up and you're raising your hands and you're praising God and you're singing and everything's going great, and just out of nowhere, you recall that Bob or Jill, Bernadette or Harry has something against you. Right in the middle of the song, you remember, they're mad at me. They don't have a reason, but I know they're mad at me. The Bible says, at that point, you leave church. You go find them. You talk to them. You sit down with them and try to work it out. You take the first step. Now, I like the qualification that Jesus put here. Jesus says, hey, you're making your offering and doing all this. His qualification is, leave your offering. So if you know you got to get up today and go somewhere, leave your offering, all right? Put it in the box back there. Drop it in. Then go. I'm not making that up. It says it in the Bible. How many of you have had an argument with someone on your way to church? Does that happen to anybody? Y'all are lying or don't want to raise your hand. The Bible says it would actually be better for you to sit in the car and work out the disagreement than for you to get up and come in and worship. It's that important. Go at once, Jesus said. That is, you don't procrastinate. You don't postpone. You don't delay. It doesn't matter whether you're the offended one or you're the offender. You work it out first. It's more important than being in church at that particular time. So, what do? You make the first move. Secondly, begin with what's my fault. We want to begin with what was their fault. And the Bible said, no, you start with what was your fault. I don't start with a bunch of accusations. I start with my fault. You start with what you're responsible for. The conflict may be 99.99999% theirs. But you find 1/10 or 1/100th of a percent that it's your fault. Something you can confess. Something you need to say, I need forgiveness for this. They may not even know. Maybe it's just a bad thought, a heartfelt negative thing about that. You confess. You begin with what is your fault. Maybe it's self-centeredness. I want what I want when I want it. And when my wants bump up against your wants, we have conflict. There's a secret sentence that will break the logjam in any conflict. I didn't put it on your outline. I should have, so write this down. Here's the sentence. If you use this sentence, I mean, it's going to make your life so much better when you get in conflict with people. Here's the sentence. I'm sorry. I was only thinking of myself. I'm sorry. I guarantee you, when you say that to the next person you're in conflict with, after they get up off the ground, you're going to be well on your way to reconciling a relationship. I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself. When's the last time you ever said that to someone? If you've never, give it a try this week. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 7:3 and then verse 5. Why do you notice the little piece of dust in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the big piece of wood in your own eye? First, take the wood out of your eye, then you will see clearly to take the dust out of your friend's eye. Now, we don't understand how Jesus is speaking here, because we don't understand Hebrew humor. In Jesus' day, this sentence is a joke. After he finished it, people would be laughing at it, because Hebrew humor is humor by exaggeration. So Jesus, he would say stuff like, you know, how often would the laugh line come up when he's talking about, yeah, you just have a little dust here, but you have a whole pole going through your eye. And the people would be going, oh, Jesus, oh, you're killing me, man. That's so funny. That's so hilarious. And Jesus is putting it out there in a way that they can accept it. Here's the point. He's saying you need to confess your part of the conflict first. I don't start with you. I don't start with all the ways you've hurt me. I start with me. I'm asking myself, am I being insensitive? And that caused the conflict. Am I being ungrateful and I just haven't shown gratitude to this person that's hurting? Am I being overly demanding? Do an honest evaluation of you. What are my blind spots? What can I see but I know are there? Begin with what's my fault. Make the first move. Begin with what's my fault. And number three, listen for their hurt and perspective. Listen for their hurt and perspective. It's very important to listen for hurt because there's always hurt in a conflict. We think we argue over ideas, but we actually argue over emotions and feelings. Anytime there's a conflict, somebody gets their feelings hurt. Somebody felt slighted. Ideas don't cause the conflict. It's the emotion behind the ideas that cause the conflict. If you want to connect with people, you must start with their needs, their hurts, their interest. Not with what you have to share, but with what they need. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What's he saying here? You intentionally switch your focus from your needs to their needs. Conflict resolution starts by the way that you look at the situation. Plato said this, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a battle as hard or harder than yours." You're not the only one. And the person that you have conflict with right now, there's no telling what they're going through, what they've been through, what happened most recently that you had no idea took place. Remember, folks, everyone has a story. Everyone has a backstory. Everyone has a history, sometimes which we know little or nothing about. If we were aware of their journey, we might act with more grace and patience and kindness than we might do otherwise. Try to see their perspective before you go mouthing off about your hurt or your need. Get in touch with what they're going through first. Number four, speak the truth tactfully. Speak the truth tactfully. The Bible tells us that the truth sets us free. But you've got to speak the truth with love and kindness. You've got to say it with tact. There are people who say, you probably knew these folks. You may be one of them. I just tell it like it is. That's being called rude. Don't ever be proud of that. Sometimes people say that and they're really it's just an excuse for acting like a jerk. It means you don't care about other people. You just want to get something off your chest and you don't mind hurting who you hurt along the way. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 4:15. Speak the truth. So we're not telling you not to speak truth, but you speak the truth how? In love. The truth alone is not enough. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. If you say it offensively, it will be received defensively. You're never persuasive, folks, when you're abrasive with others. You never get the point across by being cross. So you speak the truth in love. How do you do that? Look what Paul said in Ephesians 4:29. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed. In the video, you heard both of them use harmful words. And the more one used it, the other one came back, and then the other one came back. Once you get into that cycle, you're going nowhere but down. Don't use harmful words. Use helpful words, the kind that build up people and provide what is needed. It's one of the best verses on parenting and marriage and friendship that you could ever learn. Don't use harmful words. Number five, fix the problem, not the blame. Fix the problem, not the blame. We need to learn to attack the issue, not each other. You need to realize that you're both on the same team. Anytime you're fixing the blame, you're wasting energy, not fixing the problem. You have a problem in your marriage. Maybe you have a problem with sex in your marriage. Maybe you have a problem with finances in your marriage. Maybe you have a problem with in-laws in your relationship. Maybe you have a problem with children. Maybe you have a problem with work, your work schedule, the effects of a relationship. Stop fixing the blame. This is your fault. This is your fault. Started with you. You can blame, you can play the blame game all day and all night, and you are not only not closer to getting the issue dealt with, you're further away. But it sure is easy to do it, isn't it? Yeah. Paul said in Colossians 3:8, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. He says in your relationship, there should be no angry rage. In other words, you should never try to intimidate someone else with your anger. You don't make threats. Malice means you say things that are intentionally designed to hurt you. You don't do that. We heard it in the video. You're just like your father. That didn't go well, did it? Not a bit. Not a bit. No insults, no belittling, no labeling. Fix the problem, not the blame. And number 6, focus on reconciliation, not resolution. Focus on reconciliation, not resolution. There's a big difference between reconciliation. It means to reestablish the relationship. We've buried the hatchet. I'm not holding on to my heart. You're not holding on to your hurt. It's what has to do with reestablishing the relationship. But resolution means resolving every issue. Listen to me. You will never resolve every issue between you and someone else. It's not going to happen. It's not going to take place. And you don't have to resolve every issue. You do have to reestablish the relationship. I don't know any couple in any form of relationship at all that don't have differences. They're not going to be alike. They're going to be different. So don't try out for resolution. The fact is, folks, you can disagree without being disagreeable. That's called maturity. That's Christ-likeness. Libby and I disagree every day of the year. She's a Gamecock. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer. But we're hanging in there. It all gets tight when football season's coming up. What is it, like 6 weeks away or something like that? Listen, folks, you can have unity without uniformity. You can walk hand in hand together without seeing eye to eye. You can have reconciliation without a resolution to every issue. If you focus on restoring your relationship, oftentimes the issue becomes insignificant. How many of your biggest arguments were over the smallest things? My challenge to us is that we will commit to becoming an agent of reconciliation in a world filled with conflict. Look at these verses that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. God has restored our relationship with him through Christ. And he has given us this ministry of restoring relationships. God was in Christ restoring his relationship with humanity. He didn't hold people's faults against them, and he has given us this message of restored relationships to tell others. We are Christ's representatives. We beg you on behalf of Christ to become united with God. Folks, your ministry, among other things, is the ministry of reconciliation. And the greatest reconciliation takes place when a person becomes aware of their sin and shortcomings and becomes aware of God's plan of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Paul said that God calls everyone who's a Christian, everyone who's a believer, God calls us his representatives. And as his representative, God has called us and given us his honor and calls us to be his representatives, to share his love and his grace and his forgiveness with everybody around us. Maybe there's somebody you can think of that needs to be reconciled to God. That's not walking with God. Maybe they've never been committed to make a commitment to Christ. With whom do you need to be reconciled? Are you willing to admit you're part of the problem? Are you willing to act on reconciliation now, right away? Are you willing to stop playing the blame game and start working on a solution? What do you do if the person with whom you are having a conflict just won't work it out? Look at this last verse. You do your part and then pray that God will change their attitude and heart. And then you do your part and then pray that God will change their attitude and heart. You do your part and then pray that God will change their attitude and heart. You do your part and then pray that God will change their attitude and heart. You do your part. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for relationships because you made us to have relationships. You made us to have a relationship with you. And you created us as social people who desire and need to be in relationship with others. But God, ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, relational issues have been a mess. But it's not out of your reach. So we pray, Lord, that we could follow these biblical instructions we've looked at today so we can minimize having ongoing conflicts with others, and we can maximize the principles you've shown us today and the steps to take so we can get back in good fellowship with the person with whom we had conflict. Now, Lord, I realize from the very beginning, this video we saw all the way through now, probably there are some folks here whose minds and hearts are focused on somebody that they're out of fellowship with. And I want to pray that we'll take the right steps to follow your guidelines, to walk in your way, and to bring peace to that relationship. Bless our time now, Lord, of response. We pray that you'll draw us close to you through this and help us to know that there are things we can do and guide us to do them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
A lot of great things coming up. If you check out screen, next weekend is our Carowinds trip. I have schedules over in the other building. Some of the youth over there finishing up. And we'd love to share those. If you need one this morning, we'd love for you to join us on that trip. Also coming up, as we mentioned a couple of times, Tuesday the 29th and the 31st, which is a Thursday, the James Island Outreach, going in there and helping folks with that food bank and that ministry in that way. Also, Ms. Luria, every year we help out students as they go back to school with those supplies, the kits that they take back, all those school supplies. And you can make some donations to that. You just need to make sure you list what it's for. And if you need more information, you can check with her there in the back as well. A couple of things down the road. Grace Point 101, new members class. And Pastor Kevin will be saying, did you say anything about it in the sermon? I'm not sure if you said. So this is maybe the first time you've seen it. This is coming up. It's going to be September the 7th, hour and a half that evening. Come on in. And I know that you'll be blessed by that. So that's a great opportunity for you to find out all about what we do right here. Soon after that, we'll do a baptism at the beach. We also have some training coming up soon with some new first aid equipment. If you ever need that here in our sanctuary, we want to train some of the folks that can help out in that way. Where's that AED? All right. Hey, that's a great song, and I know if you'll take that excitement with you as you go. Let's pray together and bring back folks next week as we share. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great time of worship. Truly, we are free to share the good news with those around us. Help us not to feel burdened, and help us to feel reconciled to those around us that are hurting, and we can do our part to bring us back together. Thank you for your love that you have reconciled us to yourself, and we pray it all now. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.